Hey, this is Nicholas Prendon. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast.
This is Season 5, Episode 12, Checkpoint. Buffy finds out that she has seriously underestimated Glory after Giles returns from England, and then the Watchers Council arrives to review her Slayer skills.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Oh, she left us.
Oh, that's damn.
That's why there's dead air.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It rained here yesterday, and I guess our internet is underground because every time it rains, we have problems with the internet. All right, I'm Steph.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Delirio.
And I'm Paul Mackey.
Oh! Hey! Welcome.
Hi there.
Like in a live capacity, welcome.
In a live capacity.
Often
I try to join in on as many podcasts as I can, but here I am.
Yay.
Yay!
And we're doing a birthday pick this week, which is...
Go to hell.
How long ago did you reserve this spot, Paul?
It's been something in the neighborhood of a... couple of years, maybe 3 years. I don't know when were you when everybody was in a frenzy of signing up.
No,
yeah,
we are a couple of weeks away from our anniversary.
I had no idea who Paul Mackey was.
Indeed, just some guy.
Now, have you been involved in anything else Buffy related?
Oh gosh, yeah, I kind of was. There is the audio fan fiction audio drama Buffy Between the Lines.
Oh, okay, cool.
And in the first season, I was a non-canon major character. I'll put it that way. But you guys can't actually listen to that anyway. But I won't spoil you telling you what kind of non-canon major character I played.
I think you almost said monster.
Hmm.
Corrected himself, guys. Giving us
was that
clues.
What I said? I don't know. So yes. Anyway, Buffy Between the Lines. The first season, I was the non-canon major character. The second season, I wrote an episode and played a smaller character. And then in Angel Between the Lines, I wrote the Halloween episode and played a different small major character, a small minor character.
Awesome.
Yes. So lots of Tabitha Grace Smith up in there.
Yay. I can't wait to listen to a whole bunch of stuff I've been staying away from. I can't wait to be able to visit IO9. And I can't wait to, you know, check out what this whole Weedon-esque thing is. And I can't wait.
There's a few tumblers out there you could probably not look at
check
yet,
out a
too.
Couple tumblers or whatever it is that Yahoo calls it once it gets ruined. You know. There's a couple parody pornography movies I can't wait to watch, too. But that's unrelated to Buffy or Angel. I apologize. I shouldn't have brought that up.
I'm not sure if there's anything spoilery in the parody pornographic movies.
Lovely. Nice.
But I can't tell you for sure.
All right. Too bad.
I've never seen pornography.
Neither have I.
What a coincidence.
Me neither. What?
So, Glory's
and
back.
I've only been naked in Toronto once, so.
What? Explain the story, please.
Mm-mm. You gotta listen to Ramjack.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming.
Right.
They demanded explanation on Ramjack, so it's coming there.
Nice.
All right.
Glory's back.
All right, so
and she be hungry. Glory be hungry.
Yeah.
And she's weak. And we have two minions now.
Jinx and...
Dreg.
Yeah.
Now, these guys work at Gringotts?
Are they what?
Do they work at Gringotts? The Harry Potter bank?
Oh, I'm like, what?
No. All right.
Oh, they sort of do look like those things.
Yeah, I suppose. Scabbier.
Mm-hmm. And they bring her a postman.
That's a mailman to you and me.
And we get to see a new special effect. Where she literally digs her hands into his head.
That's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What is she doing? I guess she's... Because they don't die. They just kind of walk around like zombies?
Yeah, well it's like the other guy,
zombies
right?
Zombies are dead.
They walk around and they get put into the mental ward, and then that cockroach demon's going to get called up again.
Right.
Yes, well, she's... I don't know if it's saying... It's not saying too much to say that she's... You know, to point out that she's less sane, and they're more sane, and then when she does that... and feeds on them, she becomes more sane and they become less sane.
I guess so, yeah.
So, I think I skipped an entire Buffy-related part of the pre-credits, didn't I?
Yes, there was a Riley reference.
Yeah, that'll tell you a whole bunch about what I thought about this episode. But yeah. Was it the finding of the sweater?
Yes, they must have had fun times in the living room
and
at some point.
The reveal of Joyce's headscarf. And Dawn not using a stethoscope or a giant paper cone or a glass up against the wall.
Just creeping down the stairs.
Just creeping down the stairs in her cute pajamas.
Does.
At what age did you guys stop wearing?
She can get a snack whenever she wants to, Illyrio.
Uh-huh.
Because she's allowed to do whatever she wants.
In those pajamas. At what age did you all stop wearing childish pajamas?
I have yet to.
Okay, same. You'll let us know. Kim will let us know.
Still doing it.
Anyone else? Really? Am I the only one that's outgrown childish PJs?
Oh, no, I've stopped long ago.
Okay.
Well, but Dawn was supposed to be much younger than this actress. So just keep that in mind.
How young was she supposed to be? Like 6, 7?
Yeah, small.
And let's point out that it wouldn't be appropriate for her to be standing there in bra and panties, so. Not on network television.
It's not Entrap a Local Predator. Never mind.
But okay, how Buffy? The reason the sweater, Riley's jacket, is there is because Buffy has. I mean, the house is a mess because her mother's still recovering from her surgery. Buffy has just fallen down on her duties and trying to keep the house while her mother's recovering.
And she had also, sex times in the living room.
Yes, and also we missed this part where the minion told. Glory, that she must act Glory quickly. Crap. The minion told Glory she must act quickly. She must find the key and use it. She's in a hurry. So now Glory is in a hurry to find the key.
Yeah.
And the Watchers' Council arrive.
Okay. The Watchers' Council coming over. And is anybody else like, what do they have to do with this anymore? This is no longer under their purview and their jurisdiction. And then they show up and they start bossing everyone around.
Well, they have the archives.
Yes, because Buffy and Giles have went to them and said, we need your help. And they said, oh, you need our help? Well, all right. Well, you have to submit to this.
That's ridiculous.
If you want our information, you're going to have to cooperate with us because we have the power.
Ugh. We're glad to hear you're vulnerable. Here we are.
Yeah, I suppose.
And Buffy, because she spent this whole time feeling powerless, to her mother's illness. She's had no control over this. She has decided to stop being powerless, and she's decided that she has the power. Mm-hmm. She's the Slayer. The Watcher Council is nothing without her. They need her. She doesn't really need them.
Yeah. It was just, can't stand those people. And then they bring more of them. And they're all just stuffy suits. I don't know.
But they are rocking a brand new fresh Van Dyke on Mr. Travers.
They are. They really are. You're absolutely correct.
And just like from, you know, the early seasons, it's back again that Buffy has not been trained the way traditional slayers have been trained. Giles has not been very strict with her. He's been pretty lenient.
She was a wild child. She was a wild child. He had to reach her somehow.
Yeah, I think that made him a better watcher.
Agreed.
Japanese but apparently words. He's not a grown-up.
No, he's not a grown-up. Who uses Japanese words for all that stuff? Come on.
Uh-huh.
You know. And what's with the blindfold? I don't get it. There's no need.
Ugh. But because you're supposed to sense it. I don't know.
Yeah, because the watcher is her eyes, I guess.
That's so stupid.
Okay, this is what I think is stupid. You're paying money for a college class, and you get chastised for trying
reading.
For interacting in the class, mm-hmm. for making this an interactive situation here, mm-hmm. for participate for class participation, and you get called out and. I mean,
yeah, well, there are two sides to that. The first side is that professor was acting like a douchebag. But the second part is Buffy was talking nonsense. You know, Rasputin was not cited in that. That's just nonsense. And the professor is perfectly within his rights to be offended by someone spouting nonsense. He's not within his rights to go out of his way to treat her like a piece of garbage. Mm-hmm. Which is what he ends up doing.
She did have an accurate representation of the assassination of Rasputin.
Pardon?
Aside from she left out the part where they cut off his penis and saved it.
No, I know, but but then she mentioned this, you know, possible sightings in the 30s.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Well, I heard it just this first time on the episode.
Yes.
And so it was a little bit, you know, I can understand the professor getting annoyed with that. But yeah, he was a total douchebag jerk. I felt really bad for the vampire that she was trying to slay after that class. That was a really funny scene to me. She's really taking out her frustrations on this poor undead.
As an aside, I really enjoyed the what I found out about the actor playing the professor after I looked him up. Mm-hmm. His name is Ace Mask. although occasionally,
his real name? Mask?
When he's credited on most of these professional series, he's credited as Wesley Mask. But most of the time, on IMDb, he's Ace Mask.
That's amazing.
His first film was a short film called Zorgon, the H-Bomb Beast from Hell. And he was also in The Return of Swamp Thing and Transylvania Twist as Victor Von Helsing. He's got some really serious...
sci-fi cred?
And Saved by the Bell, the new class.
There was no new class. I will be striking that from the record.
So he has two names. So he has like one name for the trashy B movies and one name for the class.
It seems like, yeah, but I'm not sure whether his name is Ace and he goes by Wesley when he's doing the professional stuff or what exactly. His IMDb credit is Ace and then the other ones are listed as Wesley. Mm.
Maybe Ace is his alter ego from another dimension.
Wow. Too bad he's not like F. Ace Mask.
Mm.
His first name is Fitzgerald. His middle name is Ace. His last name is Mask. Yes. That would be the greatest. All right.
Okay, but Spike interrupts her while she's...
There you go.
Oh
funny because it's true.
This is why I always do the IMDb lookups when I've seen the series before. I don't recommend it if you haven't.
No, IMDb is a
find out things
place.
You don't want to know.
God, there's one more thing I can't do.
I know, it's terrible.
All right, so Spike comes in while she's taking her frustrations out on the vamps, right. And
he's overdoing it.
Yeah,
he's being
and he
way,
expects
he's overexposing himself here.
Gratitude.
He's got to lay back. He's got to let Buffy come to him. You know, he's way too eager, coming on way too strong. Yeah. Nobody's buying it. She's not interested. Like, dude, that's unnecessary. You're embarrassing yourself.
She's a cat and he's an overzealous child. Ugh. I've seen this in my household millions of times.
Yes, I have seen it as well. He's going to eventually pick her up and then there will be this annoyed look. And then...
And possibly some scratching.
But maybe he likes that.
He likes to scratch. Mm.
So...
Oh my god, that movie was on yesterday. Oh, so funny.
Which one?
The Wedding Crashers.
The what?
Wedding Crashers.
You mean the prequel to The Internship?
I want to see it. You saw it?
What?
It's not out yet, is it?
No. It'll be out soon.
I would like to see it. Anyway.
The minion goes to see Ben at the hospital to find out more information on the Slayer. And he tips Ben off. Ben, like, has no clue that Buffy's the Slayer. So now Ben knows that Buffy's the Slayer.
I don't want to get spoiled, but Ben is, like, kind of knows stuff, but is completely clueless about other stuff.
Yes, you noticed that.
I noticed that.
So he's important, but he's not that important.
I don't know.
You're not going to find out that from me.
Why did the minion go to Ben?
I don't know.
Because he needed her.
Oh yeah, they needed Buffy's address.
Because Glory knows that Ben knows the Slayer.
And there was no 411.com at the time?
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, I guess they needed Buffy's address. And he had it on file because, you know, her mom was a patient
at the hospital. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Ben, of course, would break his oath.
Well, couldn't they follow Buffy? Or if they know her name's Buffy Summers, look up all the Summers that live in Sunnydale.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why they had to go bother this guy, who's apparently somehow linked.
But they had to remind us that he's connected to Glory somehow. We don't know yet. But
I hope we find out soon, because I think I've been spoiled.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
And if I have, I'm going to be extraordinarily annoyed.
Not by me.
Anyway. Has anyone else here been spoiled recently? Or is it just me that gets spoiled about stuff?
Apparently it's just you, you lucky dog.
Oh my God.
I got spoiled on something.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Can we talk about it yet? Or no?
No, but I can tell you that I was looking through... like one of those, you know, top 10 lists.
What? And You're supposed to avoid those.
No, I was clicking through. It was the top 10 most annoying characters in television.
Top 10 what?
Top 10 what?
Most annoying characters on television.
Okay.
So Buffy was number one?
It was just some random thing.
I can't imagine who from this cast would be one of the most annoying characters on television.
They had two characters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and one we have not been introduced to yet. And I was like, I knew it. I was like, don't click to the next one. I click. I'm like, whoo, don't click to the next one. And then I click. No.
So, folks, Kimberly just described the nerdiest game of Russian roulette you can play. Were you wearing a red headband? Please tell me you were wearing a red headband.
Oh my god, that's funny. I was wearing my invisibility cloak.
The best.
Your invisibility cloak!
That one has got to be one of the most annoying, because so many people hate Don.
What?
Yes, she was on the list.
She's perfectly fine.
And actually, she was on the list twice for two different series.
Really? Is it a spoiler to tell me what else she was on?
No, she was on Gossip Girl.
For a minute, I thought it was Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
I thought it was 6 Feet Under.
Oh. What? I don't remember her being annoying in Weeds.
Was she in Weeds?
Yes.
Really? Because I've seen some of Weeds.
Last season of Weeds.
Oh, never mind. Someone's crackling, Kimberly.
That's me, sorry.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right. So, go ahead.
Ben, I guess, gives up the info because I think next thing we see is, do we get to see Glory in the Summer's house first, or do we get to see the council interviewing Buffy's friends first?
The important part is that he doesn't give the information. He says that he has a message for Glory, and the message
was, "I'm not giving you any money."
Really?
And the message was also physical.
Yeah. You're right. There was some beating up, but I thought that he gave her the address anyway. Oh, okay, no, so I guess she did go and use a friggin' phone book.
She must have.
All right, cool.
Now, what I have next is the council says that the Slayer is merely an instrument and that Glory is a more powerful instrument. And if Buffy refuses to cooperate, she fails, and the council won't give her the information to help her fight Glory. We'll have Giles deported. Buffy has no choice.
Hmm.
No, Buffy's not a tool. But I can tell you who is a tool.
Quentin Travers.
Yes, that's it.
And then I have Giles cleans his glasses so hard he broke them.
I'm noticing that more and more. Giles cleaning his glasses.
Drink. Yeah.
Apparently, that's what I was supposed to do, but I did not.
That is something he does when he's anxious.
Mm. You know, it's really hard to be anxious if you wear contacts. I'm just saying. So, yeah, the council's populated by douches. They close down the shop.
And they realize how much Buffy needs Giles. Mm-hmm. And so that's their leverage, is to get rid of Giles, to get at Buffy, to threaten Buffy with deporting Giles, to having Giles deported.
Did you guys notice that awesome table with the light coming out from the center? Is that the first time we see it?
Not sure if this is the first time.
I love that.
That's at the magic shop.
Yeah, it's a round table and kind of there's an inner circle. And it has light coming out of it. It's very cool.
Why is the magic shop always so busy?
Because it's Sunnydale. It's a friggin' hellmouth.
And there's not a lot there. It's cheap entertainment.
There's not a lot there. Are you kidding me? There's a coffee shop. There's a zoo. There's a museum.
Aren't they like two blocks from each other?
It's a lot of churches.
Have they done anything like with the high school yet, or is it still rubble? Like, are they going to build the mall on top of the old high school?
It's the college now. Come on.
No.
No, because, you know, it was there last season.
Because Riley was hiding out in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Because
where did they?
Because there's no friggin' motels.
Where do the high school children go? Do they? Are they in trailers or in neighboring county?
Trailers.
They're bused to Shelbyville.
Double wide. Yeah.
All right, now it's the.
They're homeschooled. All of them.
All of them?
All of them now.
But they might be socially awkward later. And compensate with later. Really, really, really early sexual activity. Never mind.
Okay. So now we get to the interviews with the Scoobies.
Oh, God.
And from the beginning, we saw that Anya is afraid of the council coming because she's an ex-demon. And go ahead, somebody, talk.
I thought it was ridiculous and yet adorable how Willow and Tara thought that that Watcher Watchers Council guy was wanting to know about their relationship.
Yeah, it just shows that they're still kind of uncomfortable and they, worried about what
they get very quickly
think.
Comfortable and very prideful.
I think the phrase is over-identify much.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, we help, but we're essential. Not like she can't handle it on her own.
Yeah, they're trying to...
This, playing both
they possibilities. Want, they want to show that they help her and they support her, but they don't want to show that she has a weakness mm-hmm. that would where they would need to help
exactly.
her.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was quite funny. My favorite bit, of course, was, so, Xander, what do you actually bring to the equation? Oh, and he brings up the merging of the four of them and how he was the heart. But it was nice how Buffy later defended him and his role. It was great.
Mm-hmm. It's good that the Scoobies had no idea about Dom being the key.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have to lie.
Early
they
on,
don't know.
I thought they were going to tell the Scoobies. And then I was very pleased that they didn't know, so they wouldn't have to lie. It would have been even worse.
Yeah.
Wow. So are we at the part where Glory's in the Summer's house?
No, no, no. Then they go to Spike's crib. And
oh,
crib.
Yeah, they talk to Spike.
Yeah, and the female council.
Yeah, that wasn't Jerry member. Ryan, was it?
Huh?
That wasn't a younger Jerry Ryan?
No.
Okay.
No, But she did her thesis on spying. Mm. She was very blushy and...
That's Cynthia LaMontagne.
Hmm. She looked familiar. I don't know why.
She was on an episode of Veronica Mars, Rusky Business,
no,
where she was...
I've never watched that show.
So then they have the physical test, where Buffy fails.
She didn't fail at all. She just killed the hostage. Impale the hostage.
And then that is where Buffy goes home to find Glory in her loot.
Oh my.
Which is so reminiscent of when the mayor shows up at the library mm-hmm. in season 3.
Yeah.
Yes.
Glory, chilling. The actress who plays Glory, I enjoy how she portrays Glory, but every once in a while, from a certain angle, I'm like, girl, are you 15 years old? She seems like no. way too young to play this
you
role sometimes.
So?
Just from certain camera angles. It's I think the, please forgive the term, the baby fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you really, really, really young? Or is that just angles and lighting? Because every once in a while I'm like, she looks younger than Dawn.
No.
Yeah. That's just me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
She was in Bring It On, I know that much.
Nah.
She
with
sure
certain
was.
Other certain other
Buffy
cast
alum.
Member. Yes.
Hmm.
Today I discovered there's a Bring It On musical on Broadway right now.
Yes, there is.
Oh Lord.
What is this Bring It On?
It's a cheerleading movie.
You did
cheerleading?
Oh my God, you don't know Bring It On.
It was shot in a certain high school too.
Hmm.
Torrance High.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was shot at the same high school.
Oh wow!
Very cool.
It's already been brought.
All right, I guess I have to watch this now. Although I'm like 5 weeks behind on Game of Thrones. This is what happens.
That to watch Bring It On.
Yeah.
Hey, the killing started tonight.
The what?
The killing.
The why isn't this show dead yet? Sure.
I'm gonna watch it because I really like Joel Kinnaman.
Oh yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, a new episode season. I love Holder; he's the greatest.
Mm. Oh, I like him a lot. Okay, back to Glory being at Buffy's house.
Yeah.
Did you pick up when on the line of she said you should bow down and worship me?
No. Well, at the end
now,
is the reveal that apparently she's a god, but now that you bring it up, it makes sense.
Yeah. I thought she was like royalty wherever she was from. That's what I had a feeling that they were going to allude to, but her being a god was not on my radar.
Mm.
At all.
When someone asks you if you're a god, you... What's the line? Never mind. We'll get back to that.
Okay.
Later.
I don't know if I'm skipping ahead. Well,
you
I am
can skip ahead.
The soldiers that Buffy were fighting.
Oh, God.
From the Brotherhood of whatever. I wrote it down.
Uh-huh.
My notes wrote it. So are they like a third party that are against? Like they're not in the Knights, the, what is it? Knights of Pentheus?
Knights of Byzantium.
Okay. You said it. were they, they're not with Glory, right? They're and they want to destroy Buffy and Glory?
No, they just want the key. I think the key is what these guys have traditionally used against Glory, and they need the key.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Yes, I have a group of mysterious guys from the Middle Ages attack in our obligatory third act action scene. Mm-hmm. One soldier in a vast army, Knights of Byzantium. Chainmail, swords from the past or another dimension, question mark, calls Glory the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Going to send so until they destroy her and the beast. I mean, destroy her and the key.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So now Buffy has to fight not just Glory, but now these group of knights.
Because she has to protect her pretend sister.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Why didn't they make Buffy the key?
No, they can't. The key was already this thing, and they turned the key into something that wasn't there before. Like Dawn.
Right.
Don't forget, Dawn wasn't there the whole time.
Don't
get caught up in all this propaganda.
Wait a minute, she wasn't? I thought she was.
Damn you,
I too was convinced.
Gabby. Yeah, so...
Okay, so Glory tells... Buffy, that if she doesn't give her the key, then she's going to kill somebody she loves, her mother or sister or whatever.
Oh, it's getting so close. Buffy, it's getting so close. My prediction is so close. Sorry.
What's so close?
My prediction of the ultimatum of death to her mother or give me your baby sister is getting so close.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can't hear a thing. Okay. So Buffy tells Joyce to pack a bag and she sends her to Spike.
That
because he
blew me away.
So funny.
The only one strong enough to protect them. And what was that fugly fur coat Buffy was wearing? That was terrible.
I think I'm now immune to Buffy Summers fashion.
Well, you know what? Most of the time she looks great. And then just every once in a while now, they'll put her in something that's just so...
Disgusting.
That coat was just awful.
Like that faux fur Muppet tie it coat she was wearing was not cute at all. But that scene was my absolute favorite when Joyce and Spike bonded over passion.
Soap operas will get you to bond with anyone.
That was the funny. And it's so funny because it seems like passions is like universal for like people to make fun of in TV and movies at that time. Cause it was just so ridiculous.
Yes, it was.
And everybody knows who Timmy is. Yeah. I don't care who you are.
I know. Here's the thing. When that show first started and I watched it, there was no way you knew what was coming.
No.
And then all of a sudden.
It was a regular soap opera at first.
Yep.
And then they were like, oh gosh, we have no viewers. We've got to do something different.
Yeah.
We're dying.
Turning the redhead gay wasn't going to cut it.
You know. Said Tabitha and Timmy.
Timmy.
Why do I remember their names? I watched maybe 3 episodes.
Sure.
See, back then I didn't watch it because I thought it was dumb, but if it was on today, I would love it.
They should bring it back as a web series or something. I mean, it had the budget of most web series. Sorry, web series, but you know what I mean.
Well, didn't it move to one of the pay networks for the last season?
Really?
I don't think so. I think it was well before that. They just ended with a wedding.
A wedding?
As usual.
Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, that was awesome. I really felt bad for Dawn at that point.
Mm.
Forced to listen to Passions. As her mom and Spike are gonna... wait a second.
Make out.
Are they bonding? To the point where Spike will then change his mind? And fall in love with the mother?
If I can't have the daughter, I'll have the closest thing.
Passions moved to DirecTV's The 101 channel.
Oh, it did? Ugh, barf.
That's hilarious.
I wonder if you can find it on DVD or
DVD?
Something now.
I don't know. I don't think they could release soap operas on DVD. There's like a million episodes. Yeah.
They should have like soap flicks that you can go back and watch soap operas from the beginning.
That would be
like
crazy.
On the soap channel, like the Soap Network website, can you get like old classic soaps?
If so, I am going to quit my job and watch Another World for the next 4 years.
I'm sorry, I mean stories. Is that where you can get your stories?
My historias? Yeah. That was awesome. Oh, Spike. See, this is what you want, Spike. You want her to come to you. You want her to ask you for a favor. And then you be...
I'm not a big fan of Spike. I mean, like, I don't find him attractive. Sorry, Gabby. But when he was talking to, like, the council and asking about Buffy and he had that little smirk, I was like, oh, I see. Yeah, he's kind of... got it. He's got it. But...
I was right there. I felt the same way. I was like, he's a nasty demon vampire. He is not attractive. I thought this at one time. I will say that.
And then, after she makes sure her family is safe, or part of her family and fake family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're back at the magic shop, and Buffy has that long, her big speech to the council where she realizes that she has the power. She has the power over Glory. She has the power over the Watchers Council. And it's up to, she has to let the Watchers Council back in. It's not up to them letting her in.
I didn't like this speech at all. I thought it was a little too... Look, I understand the purpose of it, but, like, the way that she was acting, like, I think Sarah Michelle Gellar, not, like, the character, how it was written, I just thought it was, like, too over the top, you know?
Too smug. I think she was
Yeah, that's smug. The word I'm looking for.
I enjoyed smug. The she throwing just... of the sword.
The yeah. Sword. Now, what I didn't like was at the end when the Scoobies clapped and woohooed. And
yeah.
That made me cringe.
Because I was like, is this supposed to be another like fist pump moment in the series? And then when the four of them started erupting in applause, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I cringed at that.
I honestly went, ugh.
I did cringe at that.
And then we find out from the council the information that they've been holding is that that Glory's not a demon, that she's a god. And I think this is great because we've upped the ante. Like, it has to be more than just a demon. Mm-hmm. Because she's fought so many demons before. It's got to be something bigger.
It has to be more than a part demon, part machine, part man.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
That was so much more.
Could have been Adam.
Okay, this has been bugging me. Mm-hmm. What's the plural of magic? Magic, right?
The magics.
You don't like magics?
Well, magic's not really I guess it kind of is a noun, isn't it? I don't know.
We're practicing magic. We're practicing magics? What?
Well, I think they want to make the distinction that they're not like Penn and Teller.
It's an illusion.
We've discussed
the trick is something a hooker does for money.
Illusionists.
Bothers me.
I take magics as Okay, you know how in the early seasons they had the California speak when they would say, you know, whatever girl. I just think that Magic's, it's their quirky.
I don't.
No, words. Magic's is out there in the fantasy novels.
Yeah.
In a heavy usage, yeah.
I don't know. I just, it sounds
usually spelled with magic. A K. Really? Usually has a K in it if it's Magic's.
Okay. Maybe I'm the one with egg on my face.
It's an illusion.
Gosh. Little things. Let's see.
I think that's the recap of everything, isn't it?
I think so.
Yep. The end.
The end.
Oh my god, she's a god!
Oh.
Oh.
That's my
god.
Good stuff.
I mean, listen. What difference does it make if she's a god or a demon?
Because a god is more powerful than a demon.
I think that's propaganda.
Well,
and when we think God, do we usually think God is like a good person? Well, so maybe she's not necessarily bad.
If you're looking at it in the polytheistic form, you know, they all had different personalities. If you're looking at it kind of as a Greek or Roman mythology, then they can be very petty against each other. And I think maybe Glory fits into that kind of dynamic where it's like, you know, did she get betrayed by this god and that god? And she, you know, had sex with this mortal and then Hercules or, you know. Like there's all kinds of stuff.
Maybe Ben's her son.
Ooh. If so, that would make me happy because that's not the spoiler that I heard. Wait, I didn't even hear a spoiler. I did not hear a spoiler.
You did not
hear a spoiler. I did not hear a spoiler, but I think I've been spoiled. That's how paranoid I am. I'm like Lila and Lindsay. I'm ridiculously paranoid. Wait, wrong podcast. But you guys know what I mean.
I think about Glory being a god, and I think about the troll and his hammer from a couple of episodes. I mean, I just think about Thor. I think about comic book gods.
Really? Because Thor, you know, Norse mythology, actually.
Yeah.
But okay, sorry. I just want to clarify that. Yeah.
I feel stupid.
What?
I feel stupid now because the whole like, well, no, because I was figuring Buffy was just losing her mojo. I feel dumb for being like, oh, duh, she's not, whenever she's fighting with Glory, she's not dealing with the same kind of thing that she's been dealing with before. I just really thought that she was
losing it,
totally getting long in the tooth, as it were.
Or that she was so upset about her mother being sick that she was
like, she was distracted. She wasn't. Yeah, she just had lost her mojo. Something was going on. It didn't occur to me that Glory could possibly be something completely different than anything she's ever battled before. And now it's like, oh, now it makes sense. Interesting.
Are we ready for feedback?
Oh, yes, we are. Here's some feedback now. Audio style.
I know what you're thinking, but you're wrong. 3 years back when I put my name in to be a guest host, I had no way of knowing I was launching the Ghostlight podcast this month. There certainly wasn't an easily searchable Facebook group page for the Ghostlight podcast. If you went to quadruplez.com, you would have seen no indication of the Ghostlight podcast anywhere. The Ghostlight podcast, an introcast for the TV series Slings and Arrows. I signed up to guest host for this episode simply as an avid watcher of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This has been Paul Mackey from the Freezer Room. Not Hawaii.
That's so weird.
Meta.
Weird.
Wow. Yeah.
Elio, did you like my intro to that voicemail?
That's pretty awesome.
I thought so.
All right.
Slings and Arrows is fantastic.
I have a voicemail here. I think this is from Luke or Luca. Here we go.
Hello, Gags and Gas. This is Luke, and I have feedback for the Buffy episode Checkpoint. The Watcher Council has arrived in Sunnydale with very valuable information about Glory, but is Buffy eligible enough to be trusted with this information? Well, duh. Even though she has been acting a little pathetic recently, but I digress. After the awesome episode Fool for Love, we had, in my opinion, three average episodes, as well as a hearty farewell to Riley, Captain Carbar's skin. But this episode is a real good one, in my opinion. Among my favorite scenes in this episode is the montage of the Scoobies being interviewed. That bit where Willow and Tara came out to their interview was really cute until he was asking about their relationship with Buffy, and it just made the scene funny. Anya was also funny in trying to hide the fact that she once was a demon, but who cares? Mike seems to have an admirer from the Watcher crowd. Well, that's just because he is irresistible, even to the most sophisticated woman. But there is also some good suspense in this episode, like Glory confronting Buffy. Thank goodness Glory didn't know that the key was standing right beside her. And also, Buffy speaking in the end was awesome. She really showed those upper-class twits who the one with real power is. I especially love it when she threw the sword at One Watcher. Go Buff! And then it turns out that Glory is actually a god. Well, Buffy maybe that's her biggest challenge yet. So overall, I really like this episode. It presented some important plot points in an entertaining manner, much like the episode No Place Like Home. So that's it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Woo!
Yay.
Awesome. So that's the audio feedback we have. We have some emails.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you, Luke.
Thanks, Luke.
I'm going to go with some non-episode specific feedback. Elizabeth. Hi, Gax, a 90% chance of guest. Long-time listener, first-time emailer here. I've been hoarding your show to listen to on long drives, which I normally hate, but were actually pleasant when marathoning the show. Aw, that's awesome. But then I really couldn't save them anymore and was listening daily while walking my dog. I finally caught up, and now I get excited when a new potential cast or redemption cast is released. It's the little things in life, right?
Right.
As you can probably tell, this isn't an episode-centric email, just general fan mail. I love your format and hearing what the newbies and the old bees. I love it, old bees. The old bees think about the show. I'm impressed at some of the spot-on theories and giggle at others. Thanks for those, Illyrio.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And I admire how Stephanie can keep you guys so spoiler-free. Listening to Gak react to characters and plot lines reminds me the first time I watched the show. I've now watched it so many times that I have completely changed my opinions, generally towards the positive. And it's fun to remember that I kind of hated Dawn and Faith and Riley. Well, I still don't love Faith and Riley, but you get what I mean. Fun fact, I just left Sony after over 8 years, so I'm very, very familiar with the Wolferman Hart building. A.K.A. Sony Pictures Plaza. And my house is only a couple blocks from the apartment building used as a Hyperion. Oh, that's awesome. This is totally coincidental. Neat. I swear I'm not that nerdy. enough for now. I'm excited to hear what you think.
The nerdiest one earlier
about
in this
the
episode.
Back half of season 5. Kim and Gabby, I'm with you on Triangle. Grr, arg, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
She has 2/3 my child's name.
That's awesome.
She's a genius. Thank you.
Heidi sent us an email as well.
Ooh.
Hey, Gax and Guest, I hate the Watchers Council so much. And that is why I love this episode. Any chance for Buffy to get the best of them is a win in my book. Even better than killing a demon. And Giles gets a paycheck again. Oh, yeah, that's true. Retroactive pay. Good one, Giles.
Retroactive paycheck.
Speaking of demons, Anya makes up a very nice backstory for herself. I love the interviews. I love how everyone reacts. Spike's is hilarious. Good thing they don't know about Dawn, because they are horrible secret keepers. And I'm very interested to hear how you react to the information about Glory. Can't wait to hear your thoughts, Heidi. Thanks, Heidi. Let's see. Any more episode-specific emails? I don't see any. So let's go to the Facebook. I totally zoomed in, like, big time.
Okay, Simone says, one of my favorite episodes from the entire series, The Council, The Knights of Byzantium, Adorkable and Flustered Willow and Terror, Anya and All That Jazz, Muffins, Northeastern Indiana, Little Patriot, Xander desperately trying to convince the Council he belongs in the group. Thankfully, Buffy sees that he's useful. Clocked field time. Spike using the Council to get info on Buffy, LOL. Dawn eavesdropping, naughty girl. Buffy's badassness in the physical test. Giles' lack of proper training of his slayer, LOL. And I guess there was that little revelation about what glory really is. Edit. Oh, for some silly reason, we get another mention of Riley because Buffy finds one of his doofy military turtlenecks behind the couch.
Julia says, I love all the questioning scenes with the Scoobies and Buffy's big speech at the end. The council always seems pointless and stupid to me. I'm glad Buffy realized that too. And Glory is a what? Is that hyperbole, like how I say Joss Whedon is a god? Maybe Quentin just thinks Glory is a genius and he loves her way with words. Also, I think I've said it before, but any scene where Spike and Joyce interact is pure gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I just flashed back to, I forget the episode, but Spike was behind Joyce and pretending to bite her. Also, I think I've said it before, Dawn does not seem to find them as absolutely hilarious as I do, but I think that just proves that she has no taste. Watching Buffy kind of makes me want to watch Passions. I've never seen it, but it sounds ridiculous.
Yes, it does.
Matthew says, I love this episode. I look forward to it every time I rewatch Buffy. Why? We get to see the council put back in its place. We get to see all of the Scoobies squirm while Buffy is realizing that she needs to put the council in its place. Plus, the face-to-face time with Glory at the Summers residence with the key is so tantalizingly within reach. Creepy. Buffy asks for Spike's help. This is true. Joyce and Spike are great together. And who are these Byzantium guys? And why don't they understand the enemy of my enemy is my friend? But best of all is Buffy's speech at the end with all of the byplay. And the look of sheer terror on her face when she finally gets her answer. Who knew Sarah Michelle Gellar could act that well?
Ugh, guys.
Especially after last week's weepy Buffy. Robin Burge says, Buffy's speech in the end about how much power she has and telling the council to fall in line behind her would make Frank Underwood proud. I know it wouldn't.
Who is Frank Underwood?
Watch House of Cards.
Oh.
Francis Underwood. Anya trying to throw Willow under the bus is hilarious. Yes, be quiet, Robin. That's my quote. Harold says, yes, go for it.
Harold says, it's a little surprising that it took the council so long to worm their way back into Buffy's world. Giles gave them an opening by approaching them first. I wonder what was their fallback plan had they not been contacted by him. Bob DeGrand says, Buffy finally wised up about the council. It's about time. I love the councilwoman who wrote her thesis on Spike. I guess Buffy isn't the only one who is attracted to vampires. Her cough to Giles about his reinstatement terms was also great.
Lynette says, Glory good, council bad. Ina says, Buffy's speech to the council and throwing the sword is one of the top fist bump moments of the entire series. Really? Someone please quote the entire thing. Really? There's some good comedy here as well. Love Spike and Joyce bonding over Passions.
Matthew Williams says, I especially love when Buffy turns around Quentin's own words and then she demands his answer. Never noticed that until this rewatch.
Tree pretty, patriarchy bad. That's from Rachel.
Oh, Rachel, you're so smart. Val passes. Spike and Joyce bonding over Passions equal awesome. In the interview scenes, I liked how Willow caught a case of the stutters from Tara. Hmm. Were you guys shocked when Buffy comes home and wham, Glory is there?
Yes.
The sudden scary music made it even better when they first revealed her standing there. I found Glory to be quite threatening there and thought it was a pretty tense scene. Knights of Byzantium? WTF, 8 out of 10 big ass swords.
Taylor says, this is one of the episodes that got me back into Buffy. I watched seasons 1 to 5 in reruns, 6 as it aired, 7 the summer after it aired, and then I let the show go. I was entering high school and didn't have access to the show anymore, so I moved on and forgot. Years later I was remembering storylines and had the urge to rewatch the series. It was then that I truly and deeply fell in love. It was the end of this episode that was lingering in my head. Well, this and Gingerbread from season 3, which is why I love that episode too, and no one can convince me it's a bad episode. For this reason.
Gingerbread is very forgettable. Very
is that the one with
me.
The children?
Yes.
Yes.
And all the adults?
Yeah.
And Joyce becomes a crusader in the town?
Moo. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mothers Against the Occult.
Yes. For this reason, I love this episode. It's the reason I'm here on this site. The reason I own every season of Buffy and Angel. Objectively, this episode is hilarious. Spike's questioning, Anya's full name, and Buffy throwing the sword at Council Guy, to name a few. And this episode is pretty empowering. I do like to forget the Knights of Byzantium, though, because, like Val said, WTF.
Patrick Thomas says, oh, look, the plot's back. This episode is wonderful. Gloria.
Oh, look, the plot's back.
Write some nuts. I don't know.
I don't know, whatever. That's the quickest, that's the shortest abbreviation for I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Whatever. Thumbs up.
I don't know. Thank you, Patrick. Thanks, everybody, for your feedback. And you can call us, 27047Buffy. You can send us an email at
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
Follow us on the Twitter. We're PotentialCast. You can go to PotentialCast.com. And you can go to, the Facebook group. Facebook.com/group/PotentialCast. Join up. We're at 354 members. Very cool. Keep it spoiler-free. Please. Pretty please. That'd be awesome.
Yay.
Yay. I think it's time for us to rate, and then we're going to quote. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Guest, you may go first.
Oh, I can. Okay. Let's see. I got to pick between my two rating systems. I will go with 8 out of 10 regrouped piles.
Nice.
Go ahead, Steph. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that, Doug Petrie and Jane Espenson wrote this, and I think that they go really well together, and I think this was just a fun episode, and just everybody got good character moments, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't, an action-packed, but it was thrilling with, the dialogue, like with Glory showing up at Buffy's house, and it didn't rely so heavily on action scenes. It relied more on character moments. And I would give it 8 out of 10 power plays.
Well, I got to say that this episode was doing really, really well in my books. And then that speech at the end made me cringe.
Yeah.
And then you know what happened?
100% agree.
There were some cheering up in the rafters, and that really made me cringe.
Yeah.
So instead of being like an 8.5 or a 9 out of 10, I'm going to give this episode a 7.5 out of 10 miraculously fitting over cast sweaters. You can't get sweaters to fit over casts like that. Except on the TV.
It took me a while. I'm like, what is he talking about?
The easily breakable one. Ha!
I am in 100% agreement with you, Illyrio. I loved everything up until the speech. Like, something about it, just like Stephanie said, the smugness of her. Just, ugh. I was like, really, guys? Class protector again? And then... I am going to give this episode 7 out of 10 sweet, bumpy minions.
I also agree that whole speech and the cheering was bullshit. And it kind of took me out of the rest of the episode that I thoroughly enjoyed. But the reveal of what Glory is was amazing to me.
That was awesome.
And that just makes all the bad go away. So on a scale of whatever to woo, I give it an oh my god. God!
How apropos.
Can't.
Very cool.
Thank you.
All right. Time for quotes. Anyone?
Willow's a demon? That was actually very funny.
All right, I'll go. I thought English people were gentler than normal people.
I'll go. He could seduce her and bang the key out of her.
Hello, Buffy. Here's some stuff we know. Pip, pip.
Did y'all hear me?
Yes, we did.
Yes. I love that. Pip, pip. Pip. All right. Ooh, I like her. She's sassy. Friggin' love Glory. Love her.
Yeah. I love what you've neglected to do with the place.
Buffy, if I wanted to fight you, you could tell by the being dead already. So play nice, little girl.
She's the best.
Anya Christina Emanuela Jenkins, 20 years old, born on the 4th of July. And don't think there weren't jokes about that my whole life, mister, because there were. Who's a little patriot, they'd say, when I was younger and therefore smaller and shorter than I am now.
Awesome.
You all stand around and look somber. Good job.
Just enthusiasm for killing the demons. Go deadness for the demons.
I'm still stuck back on that banging one.
You could bang the key out of her.
Bang That's the key awesome. Out of her.
So you spelled that A-N-Y-A?
Awesome. Cool. Any more?
I didn't write down the quote, but I gotta say, I like bangers and mash just fine. Mm.
Excellent. All right, everyone. I'm done. Well, Paul.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, I was. It was a pleasure.
Do you have a podcast of your own? No, that's too bad. Do you have a podcast of your own, Paul?
I do. I have the Ghostlight podcast, a podcast introcast for the series Slings and Arrows.
That's awesome. And could that be found?
Have you seen Slings and Arrows, Illyrio?
Pardon?
Have you seen Slings and Arrows, Illyrio?
I have.
It was on the movie network up there.
Yeah, I didn't have that one.
The movie network.
No. No. But I'll
check on Netflix if you can find it. It's really great.
Definitely check.
It is available on both Canadian and U.S. Netflix streaming.
Good, because I have access to both. What?
Whoa. Ooh,
I'm pissed because I had my PlayStation hooked up to watch it on the American Netflix, and they blocked it somehow.
Really? I haven't been blocked
yet. I can't watch it anymore.
I'm very fortunate.
I can watch it on my computer, no problem, but... Arg.
Gur-arg.
Gur-arg. Yes.
Well, it is available on both Canadian and American Netflix streaming.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And it is a podcast about about the goings-on at a Canadian Shakespeare festival, sort of based on the Stratford Festival.
At Stratford?
Hmm.
Yes, like Stratford, but
they don't use the word Stratford, do they?
They do not. It's the New Burbage Shakespeare Festival.
Nice. That's great. And that can be found on quadruplez.com?
It can be found at quadruplez.com, yes.
It's a Canadian show. It should probably be quadruplez.com. All right, we'll discuss.
Yeah, right. and our podcast, our Twitter is at ghostlikepc.
Hmm.
And we are easily searchable on Facebook in a group called the Ghostlight Podcast.
Fantastic. Cool. Well, thanks for coming on. I know that you've reserved this spot ages ago.
Yes. It was It was a great time.
Fantastic. All right. Steph, what's on the slate for next time?
Next time is, this is funny, the last Angel episode was Blood Money, and the next Buffy episode is Blood Ties.
Hmm. Is there going to be blood on a tie at the end of the episode?
That would be awesome.
Like blood on the money.
That would be fantastic. So I'll resist watching that as soon as we hang up, and I will actually edit Redemption Cast from last time. All right.
We're getting so close.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. And until next time, goodbye.
I'll say.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
Gerard.
Oh my God.
Like a crack of a whip, I snap attack, front to back, in this thing called rap. Dig it like a shovel, rhyme double on a heavily level. Bang the bass, turn up the treble. Radical mind, day and night, all the time. 7-14, live, divine. Maniac, brainiac, winning the game. I'm the lyrical Jesse James. Quality, I possess some, say I'm fresh. When my voice goes through the mesh of the microphone that I am holding. Copywritten lyrics so they can't be stolen. If they are, snap. Don't need the police to try to save them, your voice will see. So please, stay off my back, or I will attack, and you don't want that. I've got the power!
Is this a silent moment, or can I not hear anything?
No, I just said one thing, and I don't know why.
I can't hear anything.
Pardon?
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just waiting for other people to go ahead and say something.
For me, you gotta listen to my words.